Let's talk about the money aspect of this, Mr. Craig, because, you know, the way we got into this whole situation was coming out of the financial crisis in 2008. States across the country were strapped for cash. We were one of the first to sign up for the Race to the Top funds. Part of getting those funds was promising to implement the standardized test and also the longitudinal data system, Common Core. And, you know, that money that we got, which, you know, at the end of the day, wasn't that much. I believe it was a couple $100 million. That was a one-time cash transfer. As far as funding this, the technology that is going to be needed to implement Common Core moving forward, you know, I mean, you're running for governor. As far as balancing the books, where do those funds come from?
Well, you know, obviously some of the candidates on the other side are going to say, well, we have to institute a new tax on this. So we're going to call that the test tax or something like that.
Right.
You know, and basically that $250 million is about $250 million that they got. That was almost like a bribe. In a way, it's like, here, we'll give you this money to help you balance your budget this year, but we're not going to tell you that. And that's
it was absolutely a bribe.
Yeah, and that's like kicking the ball down the road to the next governor and going, oh, okay, you're stuck with this because here's all the other costs that are going to be put on all the counties and the boards of education. Maryland, I mean, Harford County, for example, we estimate right now it's going to be about $1 million just for the technology, for the testing, just for the math and English parts of it, and that's just the beginning of this, and that doesn't count the amount of time people are going to have to put into it. And it doesn't also show the negative when you're spending more time on testing rather than teaching. In a sense, the money you're putting in there is not being spent well. And I hear it from board members, I hear it from superintendents, I hear it from teachers. So, you know, it does need to be removed. And the dollar amount is one big aspect that I think everybody will eventually see relatively soon.
I think the point that's not getting made enough on this is governing works best at the local level. And
yeah.
I mean, as a county executive,
on planning and zoning, you know, that's the issue with the rain tax and water, you know, the Chesapeake Bay. It is better at the local level. We know what to do because we actually have to do it.
Well, and you're also more accountable with all due respect to your constituents.
Yes, and because you go to the grocery store to, you know, to buy your food for the night, you're going to run into these constituents. You see them, and the door is open. My door is always open for people to contact us and say we have concerns about whatever the issue might be. And that's why county and municipal governments were created. I mean, I learned that as the president of MACO and the president of MML. I know you're where the rubber hits the road, some people say. I say it's sometimes where the bug hits the windshield.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right there with the constituents. You don't go off for 90 days and disappear. You don't, not feel that you're responsible to your constituents. And you can talk about health care. We can talk about all these other issues that are out there.
Well, we can talk about the EPA with the rain tax. We can talk about, like you said, health care. We can talk about education. This all comes back, I believe, to state sovereignty, comes back to the 10th Amendment, states giving up their rights in the name of money. You know, Maryland has a balanced budget amendment, as do the other states. We don't have the privilege of printing cash. We're not able to live within our means. And as a result, we get bribed into these sort of situations. We get bribed into state-run nationalized education.
Yes, we do. And it seems easy to fall into it. And I agree 100% on the 10th Amendment issue. I know that we have issues on the Second Amendment and different things like that, but the 10th Amendment is the one for governors to say, look, we don't have to fall into what the federal government is doing. Let's not accept that money. Let's just do what we're supposed to do, balance our budgets. The budget should be about not taking money out of people's pockets so that, you know, your economy's good, that the jobs are still healthy and doing well. You're not forcing people out of the state of Maryland, this frustration that people have with the 40 taxes. So it's, you know, there's one piece after another that's been laid down on the table, and PARC, the testing, and Common Core is a huge one, but we could, you know, you and I could be on the phone for the rest of the day talking about these types of issues, and we do need governors that are just going to say, look, especially if you've worked at a local level, because I do believe governor's not an entry-level position. It's better to have somebody who has experienced the negative aspects on a true basis of how it's been mandated to you, what you have to do, and to stand up and go, no, we're done. We're not doing this. We're not accepting the bribe. We're not going to get addicted to accepting money to do something.
And that's difficult to do. It's going to be an interesting gubernatorial campaign season coming up, sir, because, you know, look, running as a Republican in the state of Maryland traditionally is very, very difficult to do. But you look at one failed liberal policy after another, from Common Core to the, you know, the Affordable Care Act, the regressive taxes that are hitting the elderly and minorities the hardest, the gas tax, the rain tax, the bag tax, the bottle tax, the flush tax, the tolls. I mean, you rattle them off, it becomes funny, but not to those that are actually being affected by this. And, you know, there are a lot of good candidates running for you know, governor on the Republican side, and if they can craft that message properly, I don't know, especially with the way that the Democrats are imploding. I mean, you look at what Gansler's doing to himself. Anthony Brown, this is not a shot against him, but anybody, you know, running as a lieutenant governor, it's never happened in the state of Maryland, running on the bottom of a ticket, trying to get the top job, always difficult. We could see a Republican governor.
Yeah, and it was my fortune just that I got back 3 o'clock this morning, so just about 5 hours ago, from the Republican Governors Association, where we worked with many of the different governors were there, and they had some classes on different things, and they see a lot of these states that are, quote, counted as blue states, where they have a lot of candidates running as Republicans to try to get things, like we've talked about, to get rid of these mandates that are coming through. And they're very interested in the fact that the people are upset. If you look historically back, well, you know, we did a poll on the gas tax, and it came out that 50% of the Democrats don't like the gas tax increase. We did the one on the rain tax. 83% of the people were saying, yes, we agree with David Craig that the rain tax wasn't needed. So there's a lot of frustration out there, and they don't want a third term of what's been going on over the last two terms.
Harford County Executive David Craig taking your phone calls next, 410-467-WBAL 825. You're listening to The Jimmy Mathis Show.